For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built for Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Monday morning. This was not a great weekend. This was not a great weekend for Yankee fans. This was a miserable weekend for Jets fans. We're going to get to all of it. Fortunately for the Yankees and their fan base, it is not over. Unfortunately for the Jets and their fan base, it is over. They are not coming back. They are dead. They lost to the New England Patriots yesterday. They are 2-6. And that really, and I was racking my brain going through some of the losses here in New York between the Jets and the Giants in recent memory and relative to expectations and who their opponent was and everything that's been poured into this season. This has got to be one of the worst regular season losses that franchise has had in many, many years. And we're talking about, this was the first time they were a touchdown or more favorite on the road since 1991. And they lost the game. I mean, and I got to be honest with you, like I have had so much fun with these teams being great, like the Mets run and watching the Yankees go to the World Series, and you know, it's been great. But yesterday, I just started laughing at what was going on the field yesterday. When Ramondre Stevenson, not on the one to the go-ahead touchdown, but that previous touchdown, where he puts his shoulder down and bowls over the defensive back to go into the end zone, I just started cracking up. I'm like, this can't be any worse! Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, you know, it is a tough week. We left here on Friday saying hopefully we'll show up on Monday morning with a bunch of smiles on our faces, and that's unfortunately not the case this morning because of, you know, of a number of things. And yesterday, the initial feeling about the Jet game was it's an unmitigated disaster. They're going to end up having a clean house. There's going to be a new coach in here next year. And I say that not lightly because I don't like talking about people's jobs, and I don't like talking about whether or not somebody should be replaced or shouldn't be replaced. And all I can tell you is that the Jets now have lost three games under their interim head coach. He's obviously in over his head. They completely look disorganized in the first half with all the different timeouts on offense, which is really inexcusable.
Three timeouts in the first quarter.
Totally inexcusable. Totally inexcusable. That should never happen. Especially, it's one thing if you have Drake May as your quarterback. It's another thing if you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. And by the way, if your name is Aaron, right now, around here, things aren't going so well.
Nope.
I will just say that you know, I felt like if the Jets wanted to have an opportunity to get back into the playoffs, that they had to win yesterday and that they would have to win this coming Thursday night. They would have to win both of those games because they're both AFC games. And right now, when you look at the playoff seedings, which are, it's so fun, you can't even think about playoffs, but just to give you a perspective, the Jets are ranked 15th in the AFC out of 16 teams. That's where they stack up. The only team worse than them right now, record-wise.
Let me guess. It's got to be the Titans who got blown out yesterday.
Yes, right? The Titans. And then over in the AFC, the NFC, and now the Giants still have to play tonight, the Giants, believe it or not, are 14th out of 16 teams. So the Jets,
believe it or not.
So the Jets have
gotta
sunk,
believe it.
The Jets have sunk lower than the Giants in their respective conferences. Well, and you know, and this yesterday, I mean, first and foremost, as great a career as Greg Zuerlein has, he's got to be gone. It's the first thing that Joe Douglas and that team have got to do. I don't care whose fault it is. I don't care what the situation is. The numbers speak for themselves. The man has had an incredible career. He's been a great kicker, but this year he has cost him at least three games. I mean, and at some point it's got to stop. At some point you got to remove that. And I know that, you know, they are in the middle of a season and it's basically dumping on one guy when one part of the team is not really living up to what they're supposed to be doing. Like, this great defense is supposed to be stopping Jacoby Brissett in one of the worst offenses in football at the end of the game, and that doesn't happen. And with the 2 minute, they also have a, you know, going for two, and they take too much time there. They take the penalty. Aaron throws a 3 yard pass, and of course he's going to be tackled. He's not going to make the 2 point play. So you've had so many things go haywire here. And, they're talking about, Jeff Ulbrich's talking about embracing the darkness and Aaron Rodgers talking about embracing the darkness. Like I told you, and I felt like earlier, if they didn't turn this thing around, these McAfee shows the Jet fans not going to.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll probably tune it out at this point. I mean, there's nothing that he can say that's going to make anybody feel any better. And, you know, he doesn't look the same. There's nothing about this team that's good. Like, you could sit there and focus on, oh, the defense didn't stop him, or the kicker stinks, or the offense. I mean, the entire thing is rotten to the core. And there's one thing that you should learn from this if you're an organization that's trying to turn things around. It's like Joe Douglas was doing a fine job turning things around until other people other than him started running the team. And first it was Aaron Rodgers, then it was Woody Johnson. And now look what you got. I mean, it's pathetic. And that guy was a great general manager. He made some good draft choices. He put them in a good situation. Aaron Rodgers came in here, started essentially making decisions who the offensive coordinator was going to be. What dusty ass wide receiver can we pull off of waivers that I used to play with in Green Bay in 2008? And then Woody Johnson comes in and is like, you know, I think I'm going to fire the head coach that the general manager doesn't want, and I'm going to end this holdout and essentially cut the other testicle off of my general manager. And now you guys are in this terrible situation where you have to start over again. Now, the one thing Joe Douglas did that created all of this and shows the same thing with the Giants is when you whiff on one of those top quarterbacks, chances are you are effed for a decade. Not everybody gets as lucky as the San Francisco 49ers did, and it's more than just luck because it's also coaching and everything else. Where you draft a guy in the top five, he stinks, and then you get Mr. Irrelevant. That's generally not how it works. When you blow it with the quarterback, you're done. And they blew it with Zach Wilson, the Giants blew it with Daniel Jones, and they're going to go do this all over again.
Well, you know, to the credit of the Jets, they realized that they blew it with Zach Wilson, and that's one of the reasons why they went all in for Aaron Rodgers. You know, it was interesting listening to a couple of the defensive players from the Patriots talking after the game yesterday, saying how he's not the same player, he can't get away from anybody. You know, it's not like that's surprising. I mean, you know, when you're 40 years old and you're coming off an Achilles, you know, you're not going to have the same movement you had prior to that, and you're certainly not 27 years old. I will say the arm still looks lively. The arm still looks great. I don't know what the overall issues are when it comes to play calling. I don't know if he didn't want certain plays and Todd Downing was calling plays and maybe Aaron Rodgers has the ability to void some of those plays and call his own plays. I'm not sure. But the things that happened to them in the first half yesterday with the timeouts and then again on the two-point play with a delay of game are just completely inexcusable. I mean, and we throw this word around, and this team's thrown this word around more than any of us, accountability. Like, all right, so who do we hold accountable? And to hold somebody accountable is one thing, but what are the repercussions of holding somebody accountable?
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, you've got this roster that's stacked with talent. You're going to start benching some of these guys. Like, I mean, obviously Greg Zuerlein, I think you're right. He'll be done, and that's holding somebody accountable, cutting him and bringing in another kicker who cannot be worse. But I mean, there's really nothing else you can do. I mean, except watch this season continue to die. And I honestly don't say this lightly. I'm not just saying this to throw it out there. I really do feel bad for Jets fans. This is just horrendous. Of all the things that they have gone through, and I know it's recency bias, this shoots up right to the top of the list. I mean, getting Aaron Rodgers. Everything was in place. Talking to people like, you know, Pat Winters and Sean Winters, saying, man, you know, first thing I want is just that home playoff game first. You know, then we could talk about something. And the fact that, you know, he blows out his Achilles four plays in the first year, and then they come back this year and they're actually worse than the team that Zach Wilson led last year is just, it's mind-boggling. And it's unfair, and it sucks. And for the young Jet fan who wasn't alive for Super Bowl III, I mean, to go through this again and have your season be dead when you were as high as you could possibly be, it just sucks. I mean, it makes you not want to watch football again if you're a Jets fan. And just, I mean, like, Thursday night Jets Texans.
Oh.
I mean, it's like, it's still October.
Yes.
On Thursday.
Yes.
It's Halloween.
Yes.
They're done. The Aaron Rodgers-led Jets in October are done. It's, I mean, it's insane. And by the way, like, you know, for the Drake May, and part of the reason why I picked the Patriots to cover on Friday was because I liked the way that Drake May was playing. And he was playing, like, fast and loose. They were letting him throw the ball down the field. I just thought, like, he's got nothing to lose. He's learning. I was like the stuff he was doing. He gets knocked out of the game. Jacoby Brissett comes lumbering back in. The Jets take the lead, and they let that offense, who is bar none the least talented offense in football, they have an NFL record for the amount of offensive linemen playing for them because of injuries and everything else through the first 7-8 weeks of the season. That's how bad. They have had six different left tackles.
You know, I thought...
and they let him go down the field and score with Kayshon Booty and Ramondre Stevenson.
Who are dropping balls, fumbling balls all over the place.
They had a million drops.
Yes.
And they still went down the field. You know, Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams and C.J. Mosley and Quincy Williams and D.J. Reed and on and on and on and on and on. And I mean, you can't make that up. That Patriots offense, like, you shouldn't be allowed to be that bad in the NFL. Like, they should just relegate you for having that amount of talent on your team, meaning, like, there's zero. And that offense stuffed it right up your ass in the fourth quarter.
And remember this, that offense didn't take any delay of game penalties.
Oh, my God.
Or didn't,
right.
And didn't waste any timeouts on delay of game penalties.
Great point. Yeah.
I mean, it is. You can't write it any worse than what the Jets are living right now. You know, I've kind of lived through a season like this, but, you know, I could sit here and say, new coach, new players, revolving door of players, and we had no idea what the hell we were doing, and we won three games in 1995, and it was an absolute crap show. But I will say that, you know, with the amount of money invested in this team, the amount of what we like to think are good players that are not strung together at all, it seems like everybody's out on an island by themselves. And to have this happen this way is just absolutely, it's unacceptable. I don't know, you know, what you do about it in the moment other than cutting Greg Zuerlein. But I will say that moving forward, and these guys all said it at the beginning of the year, we said it at the beginning of the year, that if this doesn't turn out to be a playoff team, they're all gone.
Right, and Rob Saleh is already gone. I would be very, very surprised. Now, you know, maybe they start, they're not making the playoffs. We know that. Maybe they start playing better towards the end of the season. And then Aaron Rodgers is like, you know, I really want to give it one more shot. Then, you know, Woody Johnson is going to allow that. Maybe that happens. But I mean, the whole thing didn't work. It just didn't work.
You know who I gotta wonder, like, what he's thinking right now. And that is Davante Adams. Like, what is he thinking right now? He's been here for 2 weeks. He had the big meeting where, you know, he basically told everybody about, you know, what they have to do to win. And I was just thinking about, like, this guy's like a total shock to him.
Yeah. I mean, he left one miserable franchise and came to another. And at least he's with his buddy, and maybe he'll get more targets, and maybe he'll pad his numbers a little bit. But he's probably thinking, hey, you know, let me just stay healthy the rest of the year. You know, hang out with Aaron, do what I got to do, and then hopefully, the way my contract is, I can sign on in a good situation for me to try to win a Super Bowl. That's probably what he's thinking. I mean, I mean, for them to turn around and have to go back out there on a Thursday night too is just
in front of their own fans, nonetheless.
Oh,
and by the way, you know, Houston's a pretty good team.
I mean, and for it to be the Patriots, too, is just another. I mean, for two decades, the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, New England Patriots used the Jets as the gum on the bottom of their shoe. And here are the Jets. I mean, here are the Patriots without Bill Belichick in a total rebuild in a week where there was almost a mutiny in the Patriots locker room because the coach called them soft. They have the single worst roster in the NFL. And that is the team up there in Foxborough again that essentially ends your season. It's cruel.
Don't forget about the Panthers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Panthers
are pretty bad.
Yeah, they are.
But I do agree with your assessment of the Patriots that their roster is, especially their offensive side of the ball. You know, the offensive side of the ball has been a revolving door at offensive line, wide receivers that legitimately can't catch the ball. I mean, how many times were they hit in the hands yesterday and dropped the ball?
I mean,
and somehow the Jets ended up finding a way to lose. And, you know, and Rob, Jeff Ulbrich and Aaron Rodgers could talk about embracing the darkness and all this other crap. You know what? Jet fans have been embracing the darkness for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. And, years. And every year, you know, like loyal fans do, they show up and they believe and they think this is going to be the year. And we're sitting here now after eight games, and I cannot believe that I'm sitting here talking about the Jets being 2-6.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible for a team that has this much on paper talent, with the exception, you know, maybe the kicker is a little bit different. Maybe they have four wins. Maybe they have five wins. Who knows? But the fact that they end up losing, and by the way, there were five games yesterday that ended all in the last minute with the winning team scoring within the last minute, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Which was absolutely crazy. And Jacoby Brissett looked like Tom Brady on the last drive, for God's sake.
I mean, and we know he's not good. You know, he's been a serviceable quarterback. He's a guy who comes in, helps a franchise out during a transition. But, I mean, it's hilarious now, actually.
And by the way, so the Jets are Thursday night, national TV. Then they go out to the Cardinals. That's a 4:25 start on CBS. That's supposed to be the national game. And then after that, they have a primetime game against the Colts.
Is that Sunday night football? They got to flex that thing out. I don't know when they're allowed to start doing that. They cannot put that game on Sunday night football. You just can't. You can't do that to your network. That would be...
And that's another home game, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, basically, we're going to be in another offseason where
we're looking at the draft.
Right. The Jets and Giants we're talking about where they're ended up and what quarterback could come in here. And you hope that one of those two franchises gets C.J. Stroud or Jaden Daniels or, you know, Caleb Williams took a while to get going yesterday. But, you know, something like that. That's the hope again and again and again and again.
This is, and with a new coaching staff, by the way.
Yeah. Yep. So I do think I still think that Daboll and Shane are going to be here, but there's no way. I mean, there's going to be
a long way to go.
It's true. I know, but I'm just projecting the fact and John Mara and everything else. I feel like those guys are going to be here. We know that there's going to be another coaching staff. There's going to be another general manager. They're going to be resetting at the end of this year, I mean, there's going to be a new coach no matter what, but I mean, unless Aaron's like, you know what, I can't go out like that, Woody, give me one more chance, and then Woody's like, okay, Aaron.
Yeah, but who's the coach?
Whoever he wants it to be. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know how you do that. It's almost impossible.
RFK Jr.
I was trying to keep it like within like 3 to 4 weeks saying, okay, here's your path. Yeah. But that's assuming that they were going to win on Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, and once they lose that game and they walk off that field dejected, they're like, you realize how many more AFC games can you lose? How much bigger of a hole can you climb into?
Well, they're just not good. You know what I mean? That's really what it comes down to. They're not a good team on either side of the ball, and they've got no business thinking about going on a stretch where they win five just like they lost five in a row.
I mean, you know, you have the Chargers winning yesterday, Baltimore lost. So this Pittsburgh game is huge tonight for Pittsburgh to retain the hold on that AFC North division. Denver won yesterday. You know, Indianapolis lost, and the Bengals and Dolphins lost. I mean, the biggest winners yesterday are probably the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, and that was really wasn't much of a test for them yesterday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. 2-6 Jets lose to the New England Patriots yesterday. A horrible regular season loss that probably ends this Aaron Rodgers tenure. I mean, as far as them being a good football team and ever doing anything. And Aaron Rodgers came here. He said, man, that Super Bowl, that Lombardi from Super Bowl III looks pretty lonely. Yeah, well, it's going to remain pretty lonely for a long, long time.
Oh, boy.
All right. CeeLo is here. I haven't seen CeeLo in a very long time. Wasn't sure if he finally quit, but he's here this morning with us.
Wow, good to see you too, Gio.
If he would have quit, you would have read it on X.
Yeah, he definitely would have that out there in a very passive-aggressive way. Yes.
I was here last week down the hall, and I saw Gio during a break. He's like, I haven't seen you around. Like, you guys haven't taken any time off. And then I go in with BT and Sal at noon to do an update, and Sal's like, forgot you still worked here. I'm like, oh, that's nice.
Well, it's true. I mean,
well, out of sight, out of mind.
Basically,
you guys act as if that's like within my control. You know, like I've been protesting working here or something.
Well, yeah. I didn't say anything on X, so I think you're good.
Yeah, right.
I figured you just hadn't been around in a while.
Yeah. Well, that's why I always say Tuesday after Labor Day, I'll see you at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We didn't quite make it to Thanksgiving, but it's almost November. So
in this time that you were away from WFAN, it looks like you have joined the Navy.
I considered
the high and tight CeeLo cut right.
Yeah, I had to clean up a bit of a malfunction at the haircut place last week.
You know, I just got to say, like, why Jerry's not here for what reason?
Cowboys late last night.
Yeah. Ah,
yeah.
I mean, I got to pull a Gerard Mayo. What is he, soft?
Hey, I'm glad that CeeLo's here. I'm happy.
Right, yeah. So you guys can...
So I'm happy you're here, too.
Are you, though? I don't know.
Yeah, so, I mean, no, it's great. It's great to see you.
Yeah.
Did you consider going full shave with the hair?
No, because not this time of year. The television aspect, my wife is not a big fan of that look as well, so...
So you actually were doing things yourself to your own hair.
So, yeah, I actually went... Got the haircut last Saturday. It was a disaster. I didn't have time to get it fixed because I was working. Shocker. Went and did television that night.
Yeah.
So bad to the point where BT called me out on it last week when I saw him. I'm driving home from it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I stopped at the 24-hour CVS to get the Clippers to try and clean it up a little bit. So picture how bad it must have been if this is what it looks like now.
I think that looks good.
Yeah.
Your hair?
It's pretty bad. Someone who did not cut my hair at the place I go to, because again, I had a very small time window, so I showed up thinking I'd be good to go. I got there, the place was packed, so I had to take the first available person, and she was not inspiring confidence from the start.
Yeah.
And I wasn't about to stick around and have her make it worse. I had to get back, and, you know, I was on the clock.
Sort of the Jeff Ulbrich of hairdressers, right?
Right, yeah.
Forced into a situation that you probably shouldn't be
in. Do you have a photo of how bad it was?
Not on me, but if you were watching SNY last Saturday night, you would have got a pretty good... You could ask BT when he gets in here today. He can break it down for you.
All right, CeeLo, let's get to the update here. What do you got?
Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. So 3rd and 10 from the Jets' 43-yard line for the Patriots. 1:29 to play. Jets are up 5, are in Foxborough, and the defense is in position to close out a much-needed win.
Third down. Here they come. Free blitzer. Brissett somehow gets it out cleanly and completes inside the 10. Booty atoning for what has been a rough outing for him. How did Brissett get it off cleanly in the face of heavy pressure?
Well, he did. Spiro Ditas on CBS.
Same old Jets.
Sauce Gardner all turned around on that play, and the Pats come down the field and stuff it in the end zone with Ramondre Stevenson's second rushing touchdown of the game. They get the two-pointer as well, which is 22 seconds left, and New England stuns the Jets 25-22, sending Jeff Ulbrich's team to its 5th straight loss. They're now 2-6, and he was asked what his message was to the guys in the locker room.
This is a moment of darkness, and we understand that the outside world is going to get really loud right now, but the only thing I know in life is that when it gets dark and it gets hard, that you work and you point the finger at yourself and you look inward and you figure out what can I do better.
So moment of darkness.
I mean, honestly, the moment of darkness is one thing, but the comments after that, he has nothing else to say but that. And it's really unfortunate for him that it's turned this way, but you know, he's going to try to fight it. He was a former player. He's been was a very successful player. Actually, was one of the stars of Hard Knocks 2 years ago. Yeah. The in-season Hard Knocks that they had. And there's a major disconnect again. And even though Aaron Rodgers threw for 2 touchdowns yesterday, there's just some sort of disconnect with their offense and him. I don't know what it is to have these timeouts, to basically run out of time and take a penalty on a 2-point conversion. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me.
And look, I get some of them. They're probably the plays coming in late, they're breaking the huddle late. But there are instances where the play clock's running down and it's like Aaron has no awareness of that.
That's what it feels like to me. And that's inexcusable, because he should be able to control the flow of a game. And he knows how the game gets called and how they spot the ball very quickly, especially after a long play, if there's a long play down the field. Now, a little secret, I will just say this, in 1997, we had a lot of long plays, and I would, after a long play, I would go running down the field and get the lineman to come running down the field with me, and we figured out how to do a substitution change on the fly. And this way, we always caught the defense off guard. And I don't know why they don't do more of that kind of stuff with him. He should be... You can't throw anything at him that he hasn't seen. He should be able to handle everything. This kind of crap should not be happening.
It's very strange. Hard to figure. So Ulbrich hits you with the moment of darkness there. Perfect setup for the media. In this case, Rich Cimini, when Aaron Rodgers finally comes to the podium.
Call this a moment of darkness for this team. Is that how you see it? And how do you get out of it? I mean, because you could just stay in the darkness as well.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness. You got to go in there. Make peace with it.
Got to make peace with the darkness.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Rich Cimini, it's Halloween this week, right?
Yeah.
If I were him on Thursday night, I would show up as the Prince of Darkness. And it's Halloween.
He's
costume.
Overseen it all, hasn't he?
He has seen it all. Yes, that poor guy has been hit over the head with the idiot stick for 30 years now.
All right, so we got the defense giving it up late. You had the special teams issues from Greg Zuerlein to the Thomas Morstead laces in hold to the big punt return allowed. And then the offense, we talked about the clock management, the timeouts, delay of game, not having the 2-point conversion play ready to go after the go-ahead score. Here's Rodgers on his unit's responsibility.
Offensively, our goal has just got to be score 30. Doesn't matter what the other two sides are doing. You know, we have trust in our defense and teams. But if we're not scoring 30, we're underachieving. This offense can do that every single week.
Garrett Wilson had a good game, over 100 yards receiving, but a quiet day for Davante Adams. Breece Hall, 80 yards rushing, but it was critical of himself afterwards. Basically, said he alone was responsible for the loss. I'm not sure what that was about. Maybe one blitz pickup where he missed. I don't know exactly what he was getting at there.
How about this? The last time the Jets swept the Patriots, okay, the Jets had more Lombardi trophies than the Patriots did. So it was in 2000 was the last time that that was the case.
First year of Belichick, I think, right?
Right. And then since that time, it's been an absolute...
avalanche.
Avalanche of losses. And, you know, I guess when Rex Ryan was here, there was some pizzazz and some juice with the team because of his personality and his antics. But, you know, I hate to go down the Joe Beningo road, but he's right.
Well, that's why he's been dusting that off. He's been going right to it, man. It's you could change the practice facility, the whole thing. I mean, and this is the greatest example of that ever in Jets history.
Well, time out, though. You know, I sat here for 3 years, 93, 94, and 95, and three different head coaches and a general manager who passed away in the middle of all of it.
Dick Snyder. Well, I think
What I'm saying is that the instability of the franchise is one of the biggest culprits as to the failures of the franchise.
Yeah, but the point I was making, though, as far as the you could change a practice field, you could change this, is bringing in Aaron Rodgers, building this roster, going out and getting all these stars, and for them to end up in this situation in back-to-back years and horrible, just, I mean, misfortune last year and now playing this poorly, I mean, that's his closing argument in the you could change the practice facility rant is this. Like this is like he sends the jury to deliberation after this example.
Closing argument, yeah. And speaking of the stars they brought in last one year, you had Hassan Reddick held off the stat sheet in his Jets debut other than a couple of pressures. So he had declined to speak to the media last week. They were all alerted he'd speak Sunday after the game. And then he's finally asked the obvious question here.
Why did you decide to end the holdout when you did?
As of right now, fellas, everybody that's here, I have nothing to say as far as the holdout. The only thing that I'm worried about right now is what can I do to be better? What can I do to get myself fully up to speed?
So that takes care of that. And he was quick to reference, hey, we're playing Thursday night. It's a short week. You know, got to get ready here. So there you go. Hassan Reddick.
Yeah, I don't know.
Welcome to the party, Hassan.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Grab yourself a beer.
They will face the Texans, who held off the Colts yesterday 23-20, improving to 6-2. But you had the Steph Diggs injury. They're evaluating him non-contact knee, so we'll see what happens there. Last night in Santa Clara, big game between a couple of expected NFC contenders who've been struggling. Came right down to the end. The 49ers holding off the Cowboys 30-24 to even their record at 4-4. Dallas falls to 3-4. Niners led by as many as 17 near the end of the third quarter, had to sweat it out a little bit. George Kittle, 6 catches, a buck 28, and a touchdown. Not time this hour, but we got to get to this Trayvon Diggs situation. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that at all. And before I go, can I play you the Commanders
final
play there?
Yes.
Yeah, and you guys can stop it whenever you want because it just went on and on and on Commanders Radio. Final play against the Bears in Landover.
He's just going to have to let one fly. Goes to the right side. Steps away from the defenders. Gives himself some time. Now steps up, fires. Heads towards the end zone. It is
I have no idea what you're saying at this point, but yeah.
He's comparing it to the Freddie Freeman walk-off slam in the World Series, but obviously very excited. And you've got this Tyreek Stevenson angle from the Bears, who's taunting the crowd with his back to the snap. Ends up getting back into the play and ultimately tips the pass right into Noah Brown's right. waiting
exactly.
arms.
Exactly. Tips it up in the air and backwards, which is the one thing you can't do.
So he's going to get crushed all week long. I'm sure in the team meetings as well. He did take accountability on X last night.
Oh, that's nice.
Accountability.
That much, yes.
Are you happy he's taking accountability?
Yeah, I guess that's the key word, the buzzword now in the NFL.
Hand up accountability. I
mean, did you happen to see the Kyle Pitts touchdown against the Buccaneers?
Mm-hmm. Deshaun Jackson situation there.
You would think that after all of the examples of like boneheadedness, that all of these guys would realize don't ever take anything for granted. Now, he was lucky that was ruled a touchdown.
Yep.
I never saw an angle that definitively told me that it was a
touchdown.
Didn't
have the pylon cam yesterday.
I mean, it's unbelievable that was allowed to stand as a touchdown. But I'm telling you, he was on the sideline, man. He was sweating that one out.
Programming notes quickly. Giants Steelers on 11:30 a.m. coverage at 6:15. Yankees Dodgers game 3 obviously here on the Fan 7:25.
11:30 a.m.
Well, because I think Yankees is the AM and FM. Normally it's split, but World Series I believe we're doing both. So the Giants are on 11:30.
What about some of these other FM signals that we got around?
I don't know, but I would assume you can get it on the Odyssey app as well if you want clean stream version.
Him? He's not.
I'm not yelling at him.
He's questioning it. Right?
I'm not yelling.
That was the home of the Giants for a long time. The old WNEW AM.
All right,
there you go.
So maybe that has something
old school
with it.
Throwing it back.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We'll talk about the Yankees and the Dodgers and the World Series Game 3. What happened in Games 1 and 2, and also tell you how to win tickets to Game 4 coming up at the top of the hour. But we've been dealing with the Jets in this first hour, this miserable loss. Yesterday up in Foxborough. Let's go to Anthony in Peekskill, who wants to talk about it. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, Anthony. What's up?
Not too much, man. Listen, I just got a rant, man, about Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers. If Woody Johnson ran Johnson & Johnson the way he's running the Jets, don't you think, like, people would stop buying the product?
Well, the one thing I will say is he has nothing to do with running the company, Johnson & Johnson. That I could tell you.
Okay.
So, I mean, he is a part of he's an heir of the Johnson & Johnson fortune, of course, but he's not running the company. I mean, this is his thing. His thing is politics, and it's the New York Jets. And I thought 3 weeks ago when he fired Rob Saleh, something must have happened on the plane coming back from London. And as the owner of the team, it's your prerogative to make that kind of decision to fire the coach in the middle of the season. It usually never goes right in the NFL, but for some reason he thought firing Rob Saleh was going to be the right thing, and it's turned out to be the wrong thing.
I agree with you there. Now, do you guys, in your opinion, do you think Aaron Rodgers had anything to do with that?
It's really hard to say because we talked about it when it happened. And I felt like, for me personally, I felt like Rob Saleh had seen enough from the offense that he wanted to make the switch from Nate Hackett to Todd Downing. I felt like that was one of the things that Rob Saleh probably wanted to do on the way back from London. Who was in Woody's ear about getting rid of the head coach? I don't know who that is. I can't imagine that would be Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas doesn't operate that way.
Nope. I mean,
there had to be somebody else or something that either Rob Saleh said to Woody Johnson or Woody Johnson saw a disconnect between his head coach and his quarterback that he couldn't have couldn't repair. So he made a decision. I at the time I was thinking, okay, he's probably doing this because there's something internally that's going on that we're not seeing.
Yeah, and then who knows? You say, was it the right decision, the wrong decision? I mean, they could be sitting here 2-6 with Rob Saleh as the head coach, too, very easily. You know, I don't know if it made that much of a difference. Now, I don't know that Aaron Rodgers told Woody Johnson to fire Rob Saleh. I don't think either one of us believe that. But I do think in that conversation that they had before Rob Saleh got fired, there was probably an opportunity where Aaron Rodgers could have vouched for him and did not.
I would just say, this relationship between Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett's kind of weird kind of thing.
Well, they had success together when Aaron was at the top of his game.
Yeah, but Matt LaFleur was calling those plays. Yeah. That's Matt LaFleur's offense up there. And how are they doing?
Yeah, I mean, they're doing pretty well.
How are they doing without Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers
very well.
Right, so there's something that's, I think Green Bay, and I would imagine in the offices, the coaching offices, they also recognize you don't want to touch the money. You don't want to, you know, have a little schadenfreude in your life where you're just laughing at what's happening down here.
Yeah.
But I've got to believe that, like, Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the Green Bay Packers, Murphy's the one that's running the team, and Matt LaFleur are probably looking at this. And the fact that they have Rob Saleh up there around them.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It really is.
Goes to show you how cutthroat the NFL is.
Especially when you mess with people's friends like that. You know, I mean, they took that as a major slap in the face and they wanted to give it back to him. So
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.